refrigerator with a head. All right, Jim Croce and Roller Derby Queen, and I've got Butter and Jam on. Hi, Butter and Jam.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
And Butter and Jam, you're with the Bruisers?
Yes, yeah, Sonoma County Roller Derby.
Okay, now I bet a lot of people don't know that we actually have a league and a team right here.
Yeah, and it's been here for 6 years now.
Oh, incredible. And so where do you play your where do you play?
We've been holding our matches, our bouts this year, at the Veterans Memorial Building in Santa Rosa. It's right across the street from the Sonoma County Fairgrounds.
And how many people does that hold?
Well, we did get over 400 people in last time around. We were selling standing room only tickets towards the end there, and I understand that there were over 100 people turned away at the door. So we actually sold out all our seats before the day of the event. Delighted with the attendance, actually. It was great.
Oh, that is incredible. Wow, what a response. So, well, let's go back a bit. Roller derby, I know I'm saying it wrong. I'm from England. It's they were just correcting me in here. It's derby rather than derby.
Yeah, roller derby.
Derby, okay. And I remember when I came here in the 70s, I remember watching it on the TV. But where is its origins and how did it come about?
So recently been reading up on this. I guess that during the Depression, there was a fellow by the name of Leo Seltzer who thought, okay, Americans love roller skating, and there's been this dance-off craze where people will just dance until they fall over and there's a winner at the end. So he thought he would combine those things and create a roller derby where people just skate laps. And until they just couldn't skate anymore. And his first event was 3,000 miles that teams of two had to skate on a banked track. And so it took days and days.
Wow.
And
Always women or men and women?
It wasn't. That first event was pairs, one man, one woman, as I understand it. And then it was such a crowd pleaser, and especially when someone was able to race past the competitor or when there were crashes or, you know, minor upsets. Those are the exciting points. So then it sort of evolved and over time became teams competing against each other to score points by lapping. So that's where roller derby got its start.
And
way back when.
Interesting, from the Depression era. That's very
right.
Interesting. Wow. What you do now, there's two different versions. There's the banked track and then there's the flat track. Could you explain that difference?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sonoma County Roller Derby skates flat track, and we're part of the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, and we just call it WISTA. So people who are involved in roller derby know what WISTA means, and that's flat track. And then banked track is actually a bit more dangerous, a bit rougher, because you can race down. You can use the angle of the track to race down and hit harder.
Mm.
So if someone was skating around on the inside and you were up on the outside, you could dive down and just swoop them right off the track.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, it can be pretty dramatic.
Right.
Like that. And so with the way you do it on the flat track, what is the purpose, and how do people win? How are points being given?
Okay, so we have teams of five. There are each team has four blockers and one jammer, and the way the points are scored is the jammer has to pass the opponent's blockers, team members, and as they pass, they get a point. For every player they pass, they get a point. So both the jammers are racing, trying to break through, and there's a lot of things going on at once, because our team's blockers will be trying to stop the opponent's jammer at the same time helping our jammer through.
Mm.
So it's sort of like you have to be hyper-vigilant in knowing where the jammers are at all times, because if you take your eye off the opponent's jammer, they're skating fast, and they're looking for the holes to get through, and they will just scoot right on through, and we've just, you know, got 5 points scored on us. So, yeah, it's a quick-paced game.
It seems there's a modicum of, let's say, roughness and in that maneuvering. How far can you go? What is, you know, how does that work? Are there umpires who say you're too hard, or, you know, how does that
there
side
are,
of things work?
There are referees, and they're looking to make sure that the skaters aren't, well, basically, they'll give penalties if the skaters are doing hits that they're not supposed to or breaking any of the rules. There are legal hits, and there are illegal hits. So what you're trying to do is knock the opponent skaters out of the way or off the track. Usually, it's done by swinging in and hitting them with the hip or the side of the upper arm between the elbow and the shoulder. You can't actually use your elbow, but if you're holding your arm next to your body, you can swoop in and use the side of your body to knock their player off the track. You're never allowed to hit down the center of the back. That would be a penalty. You can't hit on the head or below the knees. That would be a low block. So there's very specific ways that we learn to hit to knock people down.
Right. To do it politely.
or knock them out of bounds, yes.
When it comes to it, obviously, I've got to ask, I mean, knocking people around, it's something you obviously got to enjoy when you do this sport.
It's so much fun. Yeah. It's so much fun. And also, when we're practicing, it's our players hitting our players.
Oh.
So you would think that there would be some sort of bad energy in there at some point. But no, I mean, it's just so much fun. And, you know, we tell each other, oh, that was a great hit. Oh, you sure got me good that time. There was one time that a new skater hip-checked me just in the sweet spot on my hip that made it so painful to sleep. Every time I rolled over on my left side for like a month, I would be woken up and have to swing over on the other side. So I always remind her what a great hit that was and, you know, pump her up that way. So, yeah, we all enjoy it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because how else do you practice without but have that level of intensity? Yeah, you've got to bring it to there. When you're out, when you're doing practice, is there, apart from just the actual practice of going around the track, is there like different type of training and exercise and stretching? Do you do a whole other routine as well to prepare?
Sure. Well, actually, it's one of the few sports where in order to prepare, we learn to fall. And so when we have new skaters come out to learn the skills and to try out for the team, we teach them the different falls that are deemed to be the safest. You know, there's not a lot of research into this, but we teach sliding and falling on your knees and, falling so that you're not getting your fingers out where they're going to get broken. And we call it falling small, where you tuck in so that another skater doesn't come along behind you and skate over the top of your limbs. So that's part of the training. We have to teach how to stop. And to tell you the truth, this was really hard for me when I started skating because I was an endurance runner. I could skate forever and I could skate fast, but I had no idea how to stop. It's true. And so I was so panicky when I tried out because I thought, oh, I'm never going to make it. I can't stop. But there's different ways that you learn to do that. There's a snow plow, which is basically like what you do on skis. There's the T-stop. And there's a tomahawk where you just spin around and go up on your toe stops. And that's actually my favorite because it's fast.
Ooh, yeah, I bet.
Go fast, stop fast.
Now, this is all, you do it all on quad skates, don't you?
That's right.
So
you probably do do like a hockey stop if you want to stop fast. Turning to the side?
Yeah, do the side and the tee, yes, exactly. Yeah. Drag the 1 foot behind, yes.
Yeah, that's a more advanced stop for quads.
Is this something you did when you were growing up, or is something you've taken to?
I did roller skate growing up. Yeah, I grew up in Hoquiam, Washington, and we had the Harbor Arena. And every Friday night, it was the cool place to go and hang out, you know, for the kids like junior high and under probably. But yeah, I loved roller skating. And then I didn't do it for years and years and years.
And then what caught your eye?
I have children. And so when my boys were a bit younger, I took them over to the Cal State. I wanted to take them with one of their friends skating because I remembered how much fun it was. And when we got to the door, they said, oh, there's no open skate tonight. There's going to be this roller derby event, but you're welcome to come back and watch. So that's what we did. We came back, and I thought, oh, this is the coolest thing. I want to be involved in this sport.
And your kids didn't mind?
At that time, they were still a little bit young for me to be, you know, out every night at practice. So I had to wait a few years. But now they're older, and I can be, you know, they can get themselves into bed at a reasonable time, and I don't have to worry that I'm, you know, going to find chaos if I'm not here. So
exactly. Yeah. Now, what's fun about it, it seems on the roster, is you love to have a special name for yours. Each one of you has a real fun name, like, you know, Butter and Jam, and I see some others, Country Bizkits and D-Enforcers and Killer Riz Manic. Do you get to name yourself, or is this something bestowed on you?
Well, it can go both ways, actually. There was a skater on our team named Holly Wallbreaker, and Wallbreaker got her name because when she came to try out, she knocked a hole through the wall. So she earned her name. We have Sika Dislocata also earned her name because she dislocated one of our teammates' arms. Well, just wrestling around. So there was like a wrestling fundraiser that they were doing, and she injured another skater and got her name. But usually people pick their names out, and I had another name before I became Butter and Jam. I was skating as Tommy Rotten. And then I just thought, you know what, I want to be a jammer, and I like the way Butter and Jam sounds. So I picked that name, and I think it worked because I became a jammer, and I'm loving it. It's great.
So now, yeah, so you do the jamming. So take us through, you know, a couple of laps as a jammer. You know, can you visualize it for us as you're going around?
I do not love being the first jammer out on the line in about. I don't want to have to jam that very first jam of the game because that's when I think the opposing team puts out their biggest, hardest blockers. And it's exhausting breaking through a solid line of blockers, and all four of them are trying to stop you or hit you out of bounds, and undoubtedly you do get hit out of bounds a few times, in which case you have to skate in behind them and start again. It's just so wonderful when you see that opening, two skaters drifting apart, and suddenly there is a space for the jammer to get through. That is just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Or when one of my teammates swoops in and pushes their skater out of the way, and I can just skip through really quick and get going. I love that feeling on the back side of the track where you've broken through the line of blockers and you just get to skate as fast as you can, you know, and until you get around again. And then you have to kind of scout out where everyone's standing, how you're going to get through the fastest. You look at your players who you know to be a strong blocker and a strong hitter, and it's generally a good idea to come up behind that player because there's more chance that they're going to open up a hole for you to get through.
Oh, so really, there's a lot. I mean, you've got to be thinking the whole time, basically.
Right. And waiting and trusting that your teammates are alert, too. And we actually get in a lot of trouble from our coaches if we're not shouting enough.
Oh, really?
Because the idea is that you learn to shout, you learn to communicate and talk to each other on the track so that at all times, if someone loses sight of where the jammers are or is getting sort of like pulled off to the side, we call it being goaded. If the other team has sort of trapped one of the players so that they're unable to join up with their teammate,
yeah.
Then, you know, we should just be shouting and communicating and letting each other know what's happening at all times.
So you don't get boxed in and things like that.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. And you mentioned briefly injuries. Is that something frequent or
injuries? Unfortunately, there are frequent injuries, and I think that some of it is that the type of athletes that love roller derby, you know, it's fast, it's full contact. It's a sport where it's okay for women to just be really rough. I think that those types of athletes ignore pain more, maybe.
Hmm.
So I know that there have been skaters who have come back off of an injury or a sprain, or maybe they're just saying, I've done this. Oh, you know, I'm fine. I know I have a sprained ankle, but I want to skate, so, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I have skated on a sprained ankle. It's you know, it's not smart, but...
Yeah.
I don't want to give up practice.
And now practice, obviously, is for the actual games, and you've got three more coming up this year, I believe.
And one's just around the corner on June 22nd.
Yeah.
And anyone interested in watching that game can go to brownpapertickets.com and look us up, Sonoma County Roller Derby, and then the tickets are sold online. They're cheaper. Buying in advance from Brown Paper Tickets or from one of our skaters is cheaper than waiting until the day of the bout. And also, because of what happened last time, if you're not there at the front of the line early, there might not be a seat.
Well, that's incredible when you get that type of success in your sport. That is fabulous. And what type of people are coming? I mean, is it from young kids to seniors, women, men?
It is from young kids to seniors. A lot of the skaters have children, so they're bringing their families, their friends, their co-workers. Sometimes it's just people from the community say, hey, I remember watching roller derby on TV when I was a kid, so I'm going to come and check it out. And then they bring their family. So it's really an all-ages type of a show.
Oh, fabulous. And so now that's, tell everyone where it is again and when it's going to be and how to contact you.
So June 22nd, we open the doors at 7 p.m. There's about at 8. The weekend after this, it's right around the corner. There's another one July 20th. So for anyone who can't make it to the June 22nd event, there'll be one July 20th. And we sell our tickets every time on Brown Paper Tickets. And if someone just knows a derby girl, they can buy them directly from the skaters. We sell them, too.
Oh, great.
And then, that's going to be at the Veterans Memorial Building. It's just right across the street from the fairgrounds.
From the fairgrounds.
Free parking, and there'll be food and drinks on site that people can buy. So, it's just a lot of fun.
And if people want to join you, join the Bruisers, how do they do that?
So we have recruitment events, and we have a recruitment event coming up. We'll have anyone interested in skating or being a referee. We have referees who skate. We have officials who don't skate. It's nice if everyone knows how to skate, though. So people can come out to Osceola's 5th Street Grill in Santa Rosa on June 25th. There's going to be an orientation from 6:30 to 9 p.m., and that's when people can ask their questions about roller derby. They can find out everything they want to know about the league and sign up for a boot camp. We have our skater Ruthless Rita. She coordinates the boot camp and teaches the new skaters skills they need to know, and then after 6 weeks, there'll be tryouts. So anyone who participates in that boot camp can come August 6th to try out.
Oh, fabulous. Well, I encourage everyone to do it. It sounds a lot of fun.
Yes, and we're always looking for new skaters because there's a pretty big turnover, not only because of injuries, but it's a time-intensive sport.
Yeah.
I mean, people have to be willing to practice three nights per week and to participate in fundraisers and bouts, and various activities. It's
yeah, you can't do it halfway. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a commitment for sure.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really fun, Butter and Jam. I'm really glad we got to speak, and I hope it goes to great success and you really enjoy it. And get on everyone down there on the 22nd of this month. Go see the Bruisers.
Yay. Thank you. It is the best sport ever.
All right.
In my humble opinion.
I honestly believe you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Butter and Jam. I really appreciate you call the interview, and good luck.
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can't roller skate in the Buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the Buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the Buffalo herd. You can be happy if you've mind to. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. But you can be happy if you've mind.